grab your Bibles. If you have an iPhone with a Bible or an iPod Touch with a Bible, make sure you're using it just for the Bible, because I know people that will play games while they're pretending to look at the Bible. I don't do that. Okay, let's pray. Everyone, close your eyes. Father God, we just thank you for what you want to do today, for the things that you're going to share. And God, I just ask that today every person here would walk away with just a little more of a purpose from you, a little more of your presence, God. But most of all, God, I ask that today, as we're together, that we would encounter you face to face and we would just be changed by your presence. In your mighty name, amen. Okay, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 1 Timothy 4, okay? This is sort of, I've been thinking a lot about what I was going to speak on because I sort of forgot I was going to speak today until last night we were in the car, and David Ross, last night I said, hey, who's speaking? And he's like, you are. I'm like, oh. And he's like, I'm pretty sure I told you. And I was like, okay, I totally have this. I know God's got a word to share because I know what I was feeling for the past week. And so 1 Timothy 4:12. If you don't have your Bibles, I'll read it to you. Okay? How many of you don't have a Bible? Raise your hand. You don't have a Bible here. How many of you live here and don't have your Bible with you? Just checking. Okay. So everyone else, who has a Bible, raise it in the air. Okay. I'm thinking of a number. If you have a Bible, it only counts if you have a Bible. I'm thinking of a number. Everyone, raise your hand with a Bible, or stand up if you have your Bible with you. Stand up if you have your Bible. Has to be your Bible, not borrowed. Okay. I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 20. No, 1 in 100, and the person who's closest will get $5, only if you have a Bible. Okay? Give me your number. 1 in 100. Okay, what's your number? What's your number, David Ross? Okay, what's your number, Shikana, or Oksana? What's your number? Sorry? Okay. Sorry? What's your number? 50? What was your number? Say it like 26, okay. Nope. Is that your Bible? Is that my iPhone? Okay, yep. Okay, you win $5, Elizabeth. Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. Okay, what's your number? Doesn't matter what she said, what's your number? No, you win, it was 28, okay? So you win $5 after, Elizabeth. Guys, bring your Bibles. You never know when someone's going to quiz you and give you money. Okay, 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Okay, let me say that again. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. How many of you are young? Yeah? How many of you feel like adults and other people older than you are always looking down at you? Anyone? I still feel like that sometimes. Just because it might be a physical thing isn't what we're referring to. But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. So Paul's talking to Timothy and he's saying, listen, Timothy, I know you're young, but don't let people look down on you because you are to set an example for them. So for you people, I thought there was something on my foot. For you people who are like, people look down on me because I'm young, what is Paul telling you to do? He's telling you to set an example for those people so when they look at you, they're going to see the kind of person they're meant to be. Okay? Make sense? How many of you think you can do that? Wow, few hands. Okay. How many of you want to be able to do that? Still a few hands. Okay, I don't know if we're mixing here. Everyone just shout at me. Shout. Something. Some of you aren't even shouting. Shout at me. Shout. Come on. That's like weak. Those of you in the back, shout. See? Okay. You all need to just wake yourself up a bit. Stand up. I'm not going to make you move chairs. That's fine. Stand up. I want you to close your eyes. Stand up. Joshua, you too. Everyone stand up. Farhad. Mike, you too. Everyone stand up. Close your eyes. There's no one else here except you and me, okay? I know that's not true, but picture. There's just you and me, okay? I want you to shout at me as loud as you can. Wake yourself up. Shout. Go. Okay. There you go. Thank you. Now sit back down. All right. Don't let people look down on you because of your youth, but rather set an example for them in speech, in life, in love, in purity, and in faith. Okay? Every single one of you has an ability to be able to be an example to the people around you. How many of you are in school? Okay? Some of you are in school. How many of you are around people that maybe need to know God a little more? Yeah? Okay? You guys are able to show them Jesus through your attitude, through the way you act, through the way you live. There's a second verse I want us to turn to. 2 Corinthians 5:14. How many of you remember this one? It was Freshman's verse a few years ago. Anyone? David. Yes. That's 5:17. Close. 5:14. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and last word in everything we do. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:14. Remember that? It was like 2 years ago, I think, at Freshman. Say it with me, okay? Can you remember it? Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and last word in everything we do. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and last word in everything we do. Think about that. Close your eyes again. I know I make you close your eyes just so you don't get distracted by my beautiful visage. Just close your eyes and picture this. Imagine your life with these two verses in mind. First, that people aren't looking down at you, but rather they're looking to you for an example. And secondly, close your eyes, just picture yourself, that God's love, Christ's love, that unending love that sacrificed his own life for you is the source of the very first word out of your mouth and the very last word out of your mouth. Imagine what your life would look like if Christ's love was a compelling force for everything we did. Our schoolwork, the times we hang out with our friends, you know, the way we interact with our family, the way we have, like, relationships. Imagine Christ's love being that driving factor in everything we say and do. And imagine not just yourself, but your entire generation being like that. Do you think it would set an example to the other people of this world? Yes, it would. And so that's the challenge today. How are we going to be able to do that? Well, it's a good question. Thanks for asking, Ben. A lot of people are wondering, the first thing like that we really ask ourselves is, who am I? What am I made for? Anyone ever wondered who they are? Like, why God created you? What were you created for? Anyone? Okay? Be a little interactive with me, okay? It's not so cool standing up here and everyone's silent. So how many of you have ever wondered that? Yeah? Okay. Good. Good. Here's the thing. In order to define who we are, we need to look at what the world uses to define us. Any ideas what the world would try and say defines you? What you do, okay? Career? Yes? Your size? Yeah. Behavior? Yes. What you're good at? What you wear? Absolutely. Yes? Sorry? What you learn? Ethnicity? Your religion? How much money you have? Your authority, the way you carry yourself, the sports you play. Yes. Yell it at me. Your country, yeah, your ethnicity. Yes. How you look, absolutely. The world uses things to define us and try to put us in a box. And I want to give you a little example here. The world uses finite things, meaning things that have an end, to try and describe us who have no end. We've been made as eternal creatures. We've been made to live in eternity with God. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that Jesus has set us free so that we can live forever? Yeah? Okay. So how can you use things that end to try and describe things that don't end? It doesn't work. It's like trying to say 1 + 1 = 4. It doesn't. Okay? I've tried to make it work. It doesn't. 1 + 1 = 2. So, hairstyles. Anyone here ever dyed your hair? Yeah? How many of you have dyed hair right now? Okay, cool, just checking. I used to dye my hair a lot. Yep. And so I just warn you, the dangers of dyeing your hair. Anyways, how many of you, when you're buying clothes, you sort of look at, how's this going to make me look, and what are people going to think? Yeah? Be honest. How many of you do that? Okay. How many of you put on a certain kind of music when you're around certain kinds of friends? Okay. How many of you use, you know, money sometimes to try and make people be impressed? No? Okay. How many of you wish you had the money to be able to do that? Yeah, just checking. There's all these things that the world uses, even sex appeal. I said the word appeal. No. Even sex appeal, like the world uses all these things to try and put a label on you. Oh, that kid is an emo kid because they dress like that. Oh, that kid's just an Asian. It's true. Like, I'm not saying this to offend. I'm just saying the world uses labels. They try and label us. Oh, that person's just an athlete. That person's just, you know, a nerd. It's not true. You can't be defined by the things that can't even measure up to who you are. Do you realize that? You can't use things to define you when you're indefinable other than through Jesus. God is indescribable. We say it all the time. How many of you can start describing things about God? Love. Faithfulness. Come on, throw out some Christianese words here. Yeah? Happy. Good. Sorry? Rewarding God. Large. Not fat large, but large isn't really cool and big. Happiness. Amazing. Sorry? Truthful. Intimate. Patient. Anyone else? Yes. Merciful. Old. He sort of defies age, but yeah, because we made up time. Yeah? Sorry? Caring. Absolutely. Sorry? Honest. Yell it at me, buddy. Meaningful. Strong. David. Creator. Loving. Never ending. Sorry, groovy, wise, uncontainable, indescribable. We could go on for days. I'm telling you, we could. We'd run out of words before we could finish describing God. I don't even remember why I was going there, but I think what I was trying to get at is that God is indescribable, and when he created Adam and Eve, how many of you know how he created them? Anyone remember the story? Okay, what did he do? He formed the dust into an image of a man, and he breathed life into it. How did he create the animals? He called them into being. He said, earth, divide from the air and water, and boom, there was earth. He was like, birds, rise up, and poof, they came out of nothingness. The chicken or the egg, I don't know which one came first, but either way, he called it into being, and it came. Elephants, poof, out of the ground they come. But God breathed a little bit of his infinity and his life and his never-ending life into us. Therefore, we have a soul. We have a spirit that is meant to live for eternity in heaven. How many of you know you cannot label your spirit? You cannot say that my spirit is a nerd. Doesn't work. You can't say my spirit likes country music. I don't know why anyone would like country music, but I'm not going to go there. Sorry. All I'm saying is you can't define who you are based on things that expire, because you don't expire. Your body might, but you don't. Let's keep going here. Okay, so my experience as a kid. I accepted Jesus Christ when I was 3 years old. I still remember it. It was Sunday school class. You can, you know, be like, how can you really remember when you were three? I really can. Because it was the same Sunday that I learned how to make it look like you could pick your nose without actually doing it. Our teacher taught us. Go like this. Everyone, get your finger, instead of keeping it straight, just bend it. And sort of put it against your nose. It sort of looks like you're picking your nose. And when you have really tiny hands, it really works. My hands are a little too big. Like if I was like this, and like half of my finger was in my nose, I think there would be a problem. But I remember on that day being 3 years old in Sunday school, and our Sunday school teacher came in and said, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? And I was like, yes, I do. And I remember that day. Now, I don't think I know Jesus came into my heart on that day, and my life was changed, because I remember a lot of experiences growing up. We were in a church outside of TACF back then, and I do remember, though, the first time being touched by Holy Spirit. I was about 10, maybe 11, and I can remember it clearly. Me and a bunch of our friends, my friends who were my age, were watching people get prayed for, and they were falling down. Have you ever seen someone fall down when they're prayed for? It's commonplace now. It wasn't back then. Back then when revival was fresh and new. And I remember watching this lady fall down and she started shaking. And I don't know what happened in me, but I was just like, God, I really want that. I don't want it to be fake. I really want you. I really want to feel that. And I remember we got prayed for and I was down on the floor for like, I was 10. So being on the floor for a long time is a pretty big deal because, I mean, you have attention spans that aren't so, you know, active. And so I remember being on the ground for over an hour and I just couldn't move. And I was just like filled with the presence of God. And it was the first time my life was really changed. And so in saying that, like God satisfied something within me, inside that eternal part of me, that just set me up for a life of knowing how incredibly amazing God is. Some of you in this room are, how many of you are 12? Okay, how many of you are younger than 12? Okay, so you guys, when we were all describing God, you're using words and things that like, we'd run out of words before we could finish describing God, but you have an understanding of who God is, right? How many of you are over 20? Yeah? Would you guys say you're starting to discover more and more about who God is and his character and the things about him? Yeah? So I'm not alone in that. How many of you are older than me? I'm 26. Okay, David, two. Okay. Good, I'm not the oldest in the room. Okay, so what am I going, where are we going with this? We're talking about the fact that we can't label ourselves. I think some of you in this room have already been using stuff throughout your life to try and label yourself with. You've let friends label you. You've let parents label you. You've let people like stick a label on you to say this is who you are. But the truth is that's not who you are. Unless you're using your relationship with God to describe who you are, you're using the wrong things. And so I want to encourage you that God wants to speak and put upon your heart who you are today. Because in order for us to do those first two verses we talked about, you know, to be an example for the believers and for unbelievers around us, and to let Christ's love be like that compelling factor for us, we need to first let God speak to us about who we are and to answer that question inside of our heart. And some of you are like, well, I've been through this so many times. I'm like in the school of ministry. Why would God be wanting to do this? I'm like way ahead of all the other younger ones. But listen, I still go through it on a daily basis. And the truth of the matter is God wants you to know who he has created you to be because of who he created his son to be. And that's a truth that you need to accept into your heart. In the way that God loved Jesus, right? That unconditional love that was willing to send him to the cross, God has loved you with that same heart. And so this morning, as we're like talking about labels and stuff, I'm going to pray that God lets those labels and things we've used to describe ourselves just fall away and like just push aside so that he can write upon our hearts and he can speak to us about who he has created us to be. And then from there, you guys are going to be able to walk out of here today perfect. No, that doesn't happen. I wish it did. Okay, it's happened to me a few times, but then I realize I'm not perfect. Okay, so you're going to walk out of here with a little bit more of an understanding of who you are. And as you go along day by day, God's going to continue speaking to you about that. Now, you're faced with a choice every single day. You're faced with a choice. Mike, that's your cue. Thanks. You're faced with a choice every single day to accept the things that the world says about you or to accept the things that God says about you. And I'm telling you, it may even happen today after we do ministry. You can go back home with your family and like in the car ride, stuff's gonna come up and it's like, oh, is that really who I am? But it's not. And I encourage you that you have people around you, you have friends, you have pastors, you have people who care about you, your parents, who wanna speak that truth to you. And we're always available if you don't always have those people around you. So close your eyes. And I want you to just imagine for a moment. Imagine your life. We imagined what it would be like to be examples for people around us, to let Christ's love be that driving factor in everything we do. But just imagine yourself right now. Imagine the things that make you happy, the things that make you sad. Imagine those things that you have, like, just picture in front of you those things that you've used or others have used to say who you are. Your hair, the color of your skin, maybe how smart you are or how dumb you are. These aren't true words, by the way. These are just things that people have labeled you with. Maybe it's even like the things you enjoy. I think a few of you are thinking right now of times someone has said something to you that just sort of hit you in a way that really hurt, but it sort of stuck. Like, you're worthless. Or you're unlovable. Or you're unteachable. Or you're too loud. Or you're too distracted. Listen, being a youth means you can get distracted. And just picture those things in front of you. Maybe you don't realize what every single one of them is, but something's striking in your heart and you're like, I know this to be true. Just picture those things. Say, Holy Spirit, show me these things. And just picture them in front of you. And I want you to picture a liquid pouring down over those things. You don't know what the liquid is, that's okay. Just picture those things. Rejection, you know, I'm too loud, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I don't like the right kind of music, I don't know the right bands. Picture those things and just picture this liquid pouring over it. I want you to picture taking a little lighter and setting it on fire. I'm not talking arson, I'm just talking about letting those things burn away. Father God, would you let those things just wash away from us right now and burn away, God? Even those things that we thought were good, God, those things that we use to define us, like, you know, I'm incredible at telling people about Jesus and that's all I'm good at. Even those things like, God, I love to study and that's going to be my life. Father, all those things, would you help us to wash them away, all these finite things? And God, would you speak to us truth this morning? Would you write upon my heart the truth of who I am? Just let God speak to you for a moment. Let God write upon your heart the truth of who you are. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed a written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." Sometimes we think our rejection is like, no one else has experienced rejection the way we have. Jesus did. Let God keep writing on your hearts, guys. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. And from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. And about 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." And immediately one of them ran and put out a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar and put it on the staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. And the rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. And they came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Father, I ask right now that you would allow us to be able to give up all of these labels and things that we've used and others have used for us, and that you would mark us with your love. That God, you would be the one who defines who we are. You would be the one who speaks life into us. Because God, we don't want to use things to define who we are and who you created us to be. But God, we want your spoken word in our hearts. So Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you would come and write upon our hearts who we are. We're children. We're your sons, your daughters, that we've been bought with a price. Jesus, even as we were reading about your death on the cross, Lord, would you write upon our hearts that ultimate sacrifice, that we were worth more than anything? And guys, I just pray that God, throughout this day, today, tomorrow, and every day, that he continues to show you how good he is, and that those words we use to describe him would just be the beginning of discovering who he is and who you are. And I can tell you that verse from Timothy that we talked about at the beginning, that you, my friends, won't have to worry about people looking down on you anymore, because you will be that example to them. You will be a witness to them, even in your youth. I'm not a youth anymore. I can't really say it about myself. It's not impressive anymore when God does stuff through me, because I'm older, I mean. God is using you and partnering with you to speak life into you and the people around you. And that's a good thing. So why don't you stand with me? Stand up. Let's make a big circle. I like circles. Let's make a big circle. Someone can stand next to me. I don't bite. Hey, Mike, could you turn off repeat for me? Thanks. Okay, let's make a big circle. Grab the hand of someone next to you. Can't really grab your hand. I'm holding the mic, but it's okay. In spirit, I'll hold your hand. Listen, I just want to tell you that none of you were created by accident. Every single one of you was born with a plan and a purpose from God. And sometimes it's easy to think like, oh, well, I'm just another number. I'm just another one of God's kids. It's not how it works. Jess was talking about this in worship. It's one of the wonders of God that he can spend time one-on-one with me at the same time he's spending one-on-one time with you, because he's God and he loves to spend one-on-one time with you. And so if some of you are like, oh, I don't know if I was meant to be in the family I was meant to be in, you were. Some of you are like, well, why do I go to this school? Well, it's because no one else could be there to do what God has for you. If you don't believe me, look at scripture. It tells you. Esther, she was a queen. She was a normal, ordinary person who was used to save the entire Jewish race, the entire Jewish people, because God let her realize the truth that she was created for such a time as the day she was put in. If you could have done it, you would have been Esther. But God has different things for you. Sometimes you find yourself daydreaming about being born like 200 years ago or like 300 years in the future. And you're like, oh man, it would be so incredible. But no, God has stuff for you today. Your school is your ground to be like telling people about Jesus. Your family is your ground to be telling people about Jesus. You know, where you are is where God has strategically placed you because you're you. And he loves everything about you. And the things that you can do and the way you carry yourself is for you to do, not for me. Not for any of the other leaders in this room. Otherwise, roles would be reversed. So let's pray. Actually, why don't you guys pray? I want you to turn to the person on your right. I just want you to ask them their name real quick. What's your name? Deanna. Okay, ask everyone the name. Just take a few seconds to do that. Just do it. It will work.
It's your name.
Ben. Okay. Because one person could go at a time. Instead of asking the questions, just ask who their names are. I know, but it worked because I now know Deanna's name and Timo knows my name. I didn't ask Timo his name. I was going to say Timotheus, but it's Timor. Okay. Everyone knows someone's name to your right? Okay. Everyone know the name of the person to your left? No, that's okay. I didn't ask you to do that. Stop talking. Okay. Now that you know the name of the person on the right, by the way, you can let go of hands. I want you to just pray for the person on your right. Now, before you pray, yes, you could do the whole, Lord Jesus, bless them. But do more than that. I want you to speak like they can't hear you because they're praying for someone else. I want you to just speak blessing over them. Ask God to show them the truth of who they are. You know, those things that you're feeling like, oh God, I wish you'd tell me this about me. Pray that over them. Because hopefully God will then turn it back on you. Okay, so turn to the person on your right. Now, before we say go, I want you to pray for at least 10 seconds. Okay? Not like the same thing, more Lord, like 10 seconds, just praying and blessing. Okay? And again, don't worry, they can't hear you. Okay, go.
Father, I ask that you would speak truth to Deanna about who she is, about who you've called her to be, that God, you would bless her, that you would speak life into her heart and the truth of who she is in you. God, I just ask that you'd also answer the questions she's been asking, and that, Lord, you would just pour out your life upon her.
And wrap it up. Okay, now, person on your left, since it was so confusing before to get their name, don't ask their name, just pray for them. Everyone put your hand on the person to your left, and we're gonna go for at least 10 seconds. Okay, go. Amen. Very simple. Now, as I said, you guys are going to walk out of here. Unfortunately, you're not perfect because none of us are perfect, but we're redeemed by grace, which is a good thing. Here's what I want you to realize, though. God has spoken to you about who you are, and that's truth because God doesn't lie. If God lied, the whole universe would explode, okay? The universe would cease to exist because God is incapable of lying. So when God says, I love you because you're beautiful, he means it, okay? So as we leave, as you guys go home, as you go to school, as you go day by day, and you're sort of challenged with these things that try and tell you, hey, you know what, you're a 15-year-old guy and these are the things that life is gonna throw your way and you just have to deal with it. If you're a 14-year-old girl, I'm like, life says this, deal with it. It's not true, okay? You've been called to stand apart. How do I know this? Because of what Paul said to Timothy. I'm going to read that verse and then we're going to dismiss. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity, all right? Be that example.